Chapter 14. Blatherskites. Yes, and he'll get come up with, one of these days, I says to myself, insulting ghosts that way. They'll stand it for a while, maybe, but they won't stand it always, for anybody that knows about ghosts knows how easy they are hurt, and how revengeful they are. So we was all quiet and still, Jim and me being scared, and Tom busy. By and by Tom fetched the balloon to a standstill, and says, Now get up and look, you sapheads. We done it, and there was the sure enough water right under us. Clear, and blue, and cool, and deep, and wavy with the breeze, the loveliest sight that ever was. And all about it was grassy banks, and flowers, and shady groves of big trees, looped together with vines, and all looking so peaceful and comfortable enough to make a body cry, it was so beautiful. Jim did cry, and rip and dance and carry on, he was so thankful, and out of his mind for joy. It was my watch, so I had to stay by the works, but Tom and Jim clumb down and drunk a barrel apiece, and fetched me up a lot, and I've tasted a many a good thing in my life, but nothing that ever begun with that water. Then we went down, and had a swim, and then Tom came up and spelled me and Jim had a swim, and then Jim spelled Tom, and me and Tom had a foot race and a boxing mill, and I don't reckon I ever had such a good time in my life. It weren't so very hot, because it was close on to evening, and we hadn't any clothes on, anyway. Clothes is well enough in school, and in towns, and at balls too, but there ain't no sense in them, when there ain't no civilization nor other kinds of bothers and fussiness around. Lions are common. Lions. Quick, Mars Tom. Jump for yo life, Huck. Oh, and didn't we? We never stopped for clothes, but waltzed up the ladder just so. Jim lost his head straight off, he always done it, whenever he got ecstasy-sighted and scared. And so now, instead of just easing the ladder up from the ground a little, so the animals couldn't reach it, he turned on a raft of power, and we went whizzing up, and was dangling in the sky, before he got his wits together, and seen what a foolish thing he was doing. Then he stopped her, but he had clean forgot what to do next. So there we was, so high that the lions looked like pups, and we was drifting off on the wind. But Tom he shinned up, and went for the works and begun to slant her down, and back toward the lake, where the animals was gathering like a camp meeting, and I judged he had lost his head too, for he knowed I was too scared to climb, and did he want to dump me among the tigers and things? But no, his head was level, he knowed what he was about. He swooped down to within 30 or 40 feet of the lake, and stopped right over the center, and sung out, Lego, and drop. I done it, and shot down, feet first, and seemed to go about a mile toward the bottom, and when I come up, he says, Now lay on your back and float till you're rested, and got your pluck back, then I'll dip the ladder in the water, and you can climb aboard. I done it. Now that was ever so smart in Tom, because if he had started off somewheres else to drop down on the sand, the menagerie would a come along too, and might a kept us hunting a safe place till I got tuckered out and fell. And all this time the lions and tigers was sorting out the clothes, and trying to divide them up so there would be some for all, but there was a misunderstanding about it somewheres, on account of some of them trying to hog more than their share, so there was another insurrection, and you never see anything like it in the world. There must a been 50 of them, all mixed up together, snorting and roaring and snapping and biting and tearing, legs and tails in the air, and you couldn't tell which was which, and the sand and fur flying. And when they got done, some was dead. And some was limping off crippled, and the rest was sitting around on the battlefield, some of them licking their sore places, and the others looking up at us, and seemed to be kind of inviting us to come down, and have some fun, but which we didn't want any. As for the clothes, they weren't any, anymore. Every last rag of them was inside of the animals, and not agreeing with them very well, I don't reckon, for there was considerable many brass buttons on them, and there was knives in the pockets too, and smoking tobacco, and nails and chalk and marbles and fish hooks and things. But I wasn't caring. All that was bothering me was, that all we had now was the pro-fessor's clothes, a big enough assortment, but not suit-able to go into company with, if we came across any, because the breeches was as long as tunnels, and the coats and things according. Still, there was everything a tailor needed, and Jim was a kind of jack-legged tailor, and he allowed he could soon trim a suit, or two down for us that would answer. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.